Sitting in for Brian French this week, a fellow who has been absent from our airwaves for way too long, it's Tim Bates, the original host of Outdoor Notebook.
We didn't plan that.
No, we didn't. We're after all these years, we're still in sync. And that was a program that we actually had a feature here on Northland Morning that we had back in the early, mid-90s.
Yeah, I think it's been 20 years since we've finished that program.
Well, it's about time, gall darn it, that we got you back on the air. Brian French is off caterwauling someplace. I don't know exactly what he's doing. And I said, Tim, please come and be a sub. And he said, okay, I'd love to.
You bet.
So what are we talking about this morning?
We're talking about what's on my forefront of my mind right now, and that's invasive species, because I've been working with a lot of student groups out in Bagley Nature Area exploring and discovering and removing buckthorn. And buckthorn is one of those noxious plants that's going to take over our forests. And I really want to put out the word to everybody that if they live in a forested area and they look out in their forest right now and there's a plant or a shrub that has green leaves, it's very likely buckthorn. And if that's the case for many of our parks in Duluth, and if you walk through Hartley, there's a large percentage of Hartley that's buckthorn. And if we don't do anything about buckthorn, it's going to take over our forests in Duluth, northern Minnesota. If nothing happens in 100 years, we're going to probably be 90% buckthorn.
So Carol Andrews, as a matter of fact, mentioned that, and she said the same thing that you did, that if you look for the green leaves now, that's really telltale. It says thorn in the name. Does it have thorns?
Not all plants have thorns. Some of them do, with a little thorn in the axle where the leaf is. It's easy enough. If you see trees with green leaves, go online, double check the ID, and then there's a few things you can do. If they're small enough, the easiest thing to do is just pull them. They have a pretty shallow root system, so get some leather gloves on and start pulling. You could also make the investment to buy a thing called a weed wrench that would
wrench. I love it.
Yeah, it's got kind of a jaw that grabs the plant, and there's a lever action that uses the mechanical advantage of levers, and you can yank out some pretty good sized buckthorn with that. Worst case scenario, you come up with some strategies to treat them with chemicals, which in many cases are the only way you can get rid of the buckthorn. And the DNR of Minnesota has some great information on how to deal with buckthorn through chemical treatment. It's fairly easy and doable by the average person.
So when you're out looking for it, is it like a plant? Is it like a shrub? Is it like a tree?
It's mostly shrub-like. The biggest buckthorn I've seen in Duluth is maybe 6-8 inches, which is a pretty good size in diameter, whereas the most of the shrubs are probably about 10-12 feet if they're getting big, but they're multi-stem typically coming out of the ground. And right now, you know, it can vary in Duluth, but most of the stuff that's in Duluth is the diameter is probably smaller than 3 inches, because it's just started invading Duluth probably in the mid to late 90s, and it's slowly starting to take off. But if we don't do anything about it now, it's going to really go to town.
And so how did it get here, and what was it good for? Did somebody say, oh, this is pretty?
Exactly. And that's a common thing for plants, and it was a common hedge plant. It was a common shrub to plant in your yard. And there's fruit on it, and it's a really deep, dark purple, almost a black coloration. And you can see a lot of plants that have black-looking fruit that are about the size of a blueberry. And those, the birds eat them, and they have a laxative effect on anything that eats it, so it doesn't get digested, and it gets distributed pretty fast.
So it's an invasive that has a really, really bad side effect on anything that eats it.
Exactly.
So in addition to the buckthorn, you've got the other issue, too. So,
Go. Don't park your car close to a buckthorn shrub, or it'll have purple splats all over it.
Nice. So what is it about the buckthorn that makes it so takeoverable? Does it have natural predators someplace?
It does not. Well, in its natural environment, it does. They're typically where things come from, there are insects and fungi that will compete with that or kill that plant off and on. And so in a new place like North America, they go to town because those natural predators don't exist. And there are people, there are research scientists that are looking at what are some potential biological predators that could kill those plants. But, you know, if you bring one thing in, does that make another problem in the the process? So people planted them. They're in a lot of yards in Duluth. And so from those yards, that's how they've worked their way into the forests. And, you know, that's kind of the normal mode of invasives is there's no natural predators and they outcompete native species. So when we have buckthorn, the oaks and the maples and such, they can't compete with the fast growth and thick growth of buckthorn.
And so the buckthorn just sort of takes over and the other plants get smothered?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, they don't get any light or the buckthorn roots?
All of the
grab
above.
Grab them and shake them. I'm thinking Halloween-y kind of stuff here.
Yeah,
you know, but
yeah. The buckthorn isn't moving physically, but it's shading.
Darn
and
it.
And it's taking all the nutrients from the native species so they can't get a hold. And that's the same story with almost any of the other invasive species. I see that the Parks and Rec of Duluth are going to do a work on some Japanese knotweed that is out at Irving Park tonight at 5 o'clock if people want to help volunteer on something like that. That's another invasive species that does the exact same thing, that outcompetes everything, and it is thick as can be when it gets a hold. There's nothing that could compete with Japanese knotweed. That it'll grow, you know, it has a seasonal growth and it'll grow vertically maybe 10 feet in 1 year.
Wow.
It goes nuts. So there's a ton of stuff like that. Right now there's concern about emerald ash borer. There's concern about aquatic invasives. And the key with almost any of this stuff is if it's not native, do what you can to not move it. So if you're into burning wood in your wood stove, get local wood. Don't move it from somewhere else. That's probably why Superior, Wisconsin has an emerald ash borer and is cutting down as many ash trees as they can to stop the spread. And that's a very expensive scenario for any municipality to have to deal with cutting
Not
down
only
all
that,
the trees.
That's horrible.
Oh,
I mean,
exactly.
That's just a horrible thing. I remember when Dutch Elm was taking trees down in Rochester, and these gorgeous, gorgeous trees all had to, you know, 100 years old or whatever, they all had to come down.
Right.
So we like our trees here in the North.
Oh, yeah.
We're fond of them.
Yeah, we love our trees. So, and if we want to keep our trees and trees into the future, we need to prevent additional spread and deal with the things that we do have right now. And so don't move firewood. If you're an angler, clean your boat, drain the water out of your boat, dry it, wash it. Keep things from being spread, including what a lot of people don't even realize as an invasive species is earthworms.
No.
And, yeah, earthworms were not here after the glaciers. And so any earthworm that you see in the woods is an escape from somebody's garden, somebody's fishing bait that they've dumped out. And so they're altering the natural cycles in the forest so that they're also going to change the nature of the forest. There's nothing we can do about them.
I've always thought they were sort of beneficial. People talk about how they kind of, you know, loosen soil, and of course, and of course, seagulls eat them. And what could possibly be the matter with that?
So they are beneficial in our gardens, but when they do speed up the cycling and churning of the soil in the forest, and that's actually the problem. All the forest plants in northern Minnesota have adapted to not have that. So what actually happens is the nutrients get cycled in the forest floor faster than in a natural system, and so other species get a hold before some of the like the seeds of a sugar maple tree or the seeds of a red oak. There's other plants that get a jump start before they do because the nutrient cycling is different than they're adapted to.
Right. So if folks have questions, Parks and Rec is a great resource because they're having these invasive species vanquishment things every so often. Hartley's got some stuff going on out at Hartley to get rid of buckthorn and, you know, and some of these other invasives. And if folks want to get more information maybe about how they can help, want to make sure that they're identifying stuff correctly, what would you recommend as a resource?
Well, the easiest resource for identification and doing the right thing is online. The DNR has good website information. If you want to do some in-person kinds of things, connect with the folks at Hartley. Connect with, there's actually an invasive species team as a part of the Duluth Parks and Rec. So there's volunteers and leaders for those groups. So if you want to learn the ropes, join those groups, connect with Parks and Rec. The outdoor program here at UMD, we do some buckthorn pulls and some invasive species education, so that's another option.
Fantastic. Tim, it's so good to see you again. Glad to have you here.
Thanks, Lisa.
Tim Bates, the host of the original Outdoor Notebook, back in the day, sitting in for Brian French this morning for North Shore.